welcome to the service today. Don't forget the water at the back. You may need it. Yes, and hopefully the windows and the fans will help. Welcome to Reverend Louis Van Laar. It's a pleasure to have him again. And don't forget the service this afternoon for Louis' induction.
So next Sunday you won't have to welcome him to the pulpit. And aren't we glad that today is not yesterday? Imagine being here this afternoon during that temperature. We gather in the presence of God. By the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us worship God as we use scripture from Psalm 27 to focus on God. Now, the organ side will read the normal print and the pulpit side will read the bold, and those of you who sit here, you can choose which side you'll be on, or you can read everything if you wish.
For the Lord be strong, and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. Jesus calls us here to meet him. And so, our gracious Lord, we thank you for calling us here today to refresh ourselves in your presence, to grow strong in your praises and wise in your counsels. We ask that your radiance penetrate any darkness that may be upon our hearts at this time, and that you would grant peace to us as we meditate upon your word. This is the day that you have made, O Lord. We would rejoice and be glad in it, and give unto you the glory. Flow through this place with the power of your everlasting Spirit, and lift us up. In the name of Christ we pray, who invites us to also work and pray for your kingdom, as we say together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Right. Note a sheet, take it home with you, and read it. Okay? Just some things to remember. As I said, 2 o'clock this afternoon, come on down, and we'll have our service of induction for Lily. There'll be some presbytery representatives who will be present and will be leading the service. And if you could bring a small plate of food to share afterwards, that would be appreciated. Now, there'll be a collection during the service for student ministers. Okay, so I'm just telling you that there will be a collection, not for here, but for student ministers from the presbytery. Okay, during the week, PM Village, you can come to that too. I'll be leading that. Friday the 3rd, 10 o'clock, social group at my place. You can come for a chat or a game of Scrabble, and you can fail out a noddy. Friday the 3rd, 10 o'clock. Bring your dinner. Bring lunch, won't serve your dinner. Bring your own lunch. Couple more things. AGM. We're having our AGM on Sunday the 19th of March after the service. Okay, so bring that date in your diary. AGM of the 19th. Now, if anyone needs to do a report for that needs to be in to me by the 19th of February. So I'm giving you a couple of weeks. Okay, so any reports by the 19th of February, because I'll be issuing those 2 weeks before. So I'll be issuing those on the 5th of March for you to read. $2 coins, we're giving it to the Bald Hills chaplain. Okay, we're changing the Bald Hills chaplain for her programs. Okay, so I'm just telling you, the $2 coins, we've got up to $600, and it's CareFlight, wasn't it? Yes. So we're giving that to CareFlight. I think it's already been sent. Yes. So now it's going to the Bald Hills chaplain. See. When we reach $600. I think that's it. Thank you.
And remember, still read it when you get home. If something should happen to you and you find yourselves at the pearly gates in St. Peter, may well ask you to sit an examination on the news and notes of the Bald Hill Uniting Church. You want to make sure you've got all the information in your head, all right? We pay attention to the real Word of God, and we pray for illumination, understanding, and we say together, Lord God, you have declared that your kingdom is among us. Open our eyes to see it, our ears to hear it, our hearts to hold it, and our hands to serve it. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Our first reading is from the Old Testament and from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 9, the first four verses. There will be no way for them to escape from this time of trouble. The land of the tribes of Zebulun and Naphtali was once disgraced, but the future will bring honour to this region, from the Mediterranean eastward to the land on the other side of the Jordan, and even to Galilee itself, where the foreigners live. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. They lived in a land of shadows, but now light is shining on them. You have given them great joy, Lord. You have made them happy. They rejoice in what you have done, as people rejoice when they harvest grain or when they divide captured wealth. For you have broken the yoke that burdens them and the rod that beat their shoulders. You have defeated the nations that oppressed and exploited your people, just as you defeated the army of Midian long ago. Our second reading is from Paul's letter to the Corinthians, the first letter, in chapter 1, commencing to read at verse 18. For the message about Christ's death on the cross is nonsense to those who are being lost, but to us who are being saved, it is God's power. The scripture says, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and set aside the understanding of the scholars. So then, where does that leave the wise, or the scholars, or the skillful debaters of this world? God has shown that this world's wisdom is foolishness. But God, in his wisdom, made it impossible for people to know him by means of their own wisdom. Instead, by means of the so-called foolish message we preach, God decided to save those who believe. Jews want miracles for proof, and Greeks look for wisdom. As for us, we proclaim the crucified Christ, a message that is offensive to the Jews and nonsense to the Gentiles. But for those whom God has called, both Jews and Gentiles, this message is Christ, who is the power of God and the wisdom of God. For what seems to be God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom, and what seems to be God's weakness is stronger than human strength. Now remember what you were, my friends, when God called you. From the human point of view, few of you were wise or powerful or of high social standing. God purposely chose what the world considers nonsense in order to shame the wise, and he chose what the world considers weak in order to shame the powerful. He chose what the world looks down on and despises and thinks is nothing in order to destroy what the world thinks is important. This means that no one can boast in God's presence. But God has brought you into union with Christ Jesus, and God has made Christ to be our wisdom. By him we were put right with God. We become God's holy people and are set free. So then, as the scripture says, whoever wants to boast must boast of what the Lord has done. And our gospel reading this morning is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 4, commencing to read at verse 12. When Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he went away to Galilee. He did not stay in Nazareth, but went to live in Capernaum, a town by Lake Galilee, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali. This was done to make what the prophet Isaiah had said come true. Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, on the road to the sea, on the other side of Jordan, Galilee, land of the Gentiles. The people who live in darkness will see a great light. On those who live in the dark land of death, the light will shine. From that time, Jesus began to preach his message. Turn away from your sins, because the kingdom of heaven is near. As Jesus walked along the shore of Lake Galilee, he saw two brothers who were fishermen, Simon, called Peter, and his brother Andrew, catching fish in the lake with a net. Jesus said to them, "Come with me, and I will teach you to catch people." At once they left their nets and went with him. He went on and saw two other brothers, James and John, the sons of Zebedee. They were in their boat with their father Zebedee, getting their nets ready. Jesus called them, and at once they left the boat and their father and went with him. Jesus went all over Galilee, teaching in the synagogues, preaching good news about the kingdom, and healing people who had all kinds of disease and sickness. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Sing to him, "Dear Father, Lord of humankind." I had my car repaired last week, or was it the week before? Some time ago I damaged the front bumper. The Mitsubishi's got a fancy low-slung bumper, and the first time I damaged it was in Hobart when we were holidaying in the Kmart car park, and it had a sharp gutter for draining away the water, and there were no warning signs, and I took it full on, and bang went the bottom of the bumper on to the concrete, and a crack appeared. I paid $150 to have that crack repaired, because when I went to transfer registration from Victoria to Queensland, I was told it wouldn't pass the roadworthy certificate, or whatever it is called up here, and I had to pay $150 to get it fixed. Now, what happened was that on a particular day, I decided I'll go and change my registration now, before I have the funeral, which I had in the afternoon. And I went to the office at Caboolture and had it, wasn't any hassle, just had it changed from Smart. And I went to the funeral, traditional funeral, the Royal Chapels, in down up in Bourbonghetti there, and it was chock-a-block, so I thought I'd take a short cut across the grass to the parking, and it was a ditch in the grass, which is hidden. So, bang, and it cracked again. Just as well, I went and had the car registered before I went to the funeral, and I would have had to pay to get it fixed again. And then to beat it all, at Ratcliffe one night after a meeting, I decided to do a U-turn and didn't realise that the gutter of one road was different to the gutter to the other road, and bang, and it really cracked right across. So it dawned on me, seeing that it was really bad now, and you might have seen it. Although it wasn't all that visible, but it flapped around in the breeze as I cruised along the highway. It dawned upon me, coming backwards and forwards along the highway, if I got pulled over for anything, even just a breathalyzer, and a eagle-eyed police person spotted the crack, he might well, you know, force me to take action. So I decided I would get it fixed, and I thought, on the whim, seeing it was such a large crack, maybe I should check to see if my insurance covered this. So I phoned the insurance company, and I had a most wonderful surprise. I discovered I could have had this fixed right from the word go, for no cost at all. I discovered that my premiums meant I would lose no rating. The premiums I paid meant there was no access, and the premiums I paid meant they provided a hire car while the car was being repaired. And I'm thinking, how stupid have I been, putting up with this all these months? Now, of course, the insurance company doesn't give that stuff for nothing. I'm going to revise my premiums the next time the insurance policy comes up and just see how much I can reduce the premiums by and lose some of those things. But I paid for it up till then, so I took advantage of it. So now when you look at my car, it's got a lovely, wholesome bumper bar down. Hiding the wheels, except they would rub against the that they're already the 17 inch mag or whatever. They, you know, it's a super sports car, that car, not that I bought it for that reason, they just what it happens to be. But the point is, I should have read the small print. You know, the small print was all the good news, and I would have saved myself all that trouble. It's important to sometimes read the small print, to read what comes last, to be aware of what comes last. And if you did Psychology 1, as part of a teaching degree or something, did they play this trick on you? They give you a test with 20 questions, complicated questions when you have a quick look at it, and well, you're told not to look at it until they ask you to turn the page over. But before that, they say, Now make sure to read through all the questions carefully before you attempt. And then they say, now the first five to finish and bring the completed questionnaire to me, the lecturer says, we'll get a reward. That was a pretty frog. It was just a stupid little thing, you know, for the university students, but the competitive juices got going, you know. So when the lecturer said, turn over that sheet of paper, a fair number of us, including myself, decided we don't need to read through all these 20 questions before we start answering them. We can just start answering them straight away. So away we go, a little bit complicated, multiple choice, but you had to do some thinking. And to our amazement, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 students were at the front handing theirs in, and I couldn't believe it. So I got to the last question, which said, ignore all the previous questions, just hand in this sheet of paper with your name. It was a trick, you see. A psychological testing of sorts, of course. But it pays to pay attention to what comes last, because that may be the best new ever. And you know where this is going to go, don't you? It's going to go to the gospel that we have. The final revelation of God in Jesus Christ pays to listen to what comes last. Last week we learned from John something very crucial about God's revelation concerning God's self and God's relationship with creation and humanity, when John pointed out from the baptizer, pointed out, there is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He was saying something very similar to what Paul is saying in 1 Corinthians. He pointed out, as we discovered last week, that the God whom was remembered by the Israelites as the all-powerful, mighty God to outsmart, outbox, outfight, outdo any other sort of God they could come up with, the God who acted as their powerful deliverer, bringing them out of Egypt with mighty acts. The plagues of Egypt come to mind. Scholars have suggested each of those plagues shows and demonstrates God's power over a local Egyptian deity. This is the God whom the Israelites worshipped and counted on to preserve them and to guide them. But here comes Jesus, and John the Baptizer says, there is the Lamb of God. Remember, associated with the Exodus event, you have the Lamb who is killed, whose blood is smeared on the doorpost to prevent the angel of death exercising his function in the household. The lamb is then consumed, the meat, to strengthen the people for the journey. And all of a sudden, there is this incredible topsy-turvy transformation of the God who is all-powerful, able to enforce God's will with violence even. This God becomes the one who in Jesus Christ offers God's self to avoid for two people, so that the angel of death no longer has power over them and sustain them on their journey. The Jews, Paul said in today's reading, demand signs of power to be convinced about God. But the cross of Christ therefore to them seems incomprehensible. No God will allow them himself to be sacrificed and made subject to the whims of men. The Jews demand signs. Most of us, I suggested last week, when we think carefully about our own image of God, fall inevitably comfortably into an image in which God is like this all-powerful God, and yet we're urged to rethink God's self-revelation to us in Jesus Christ. Read the small print. Listen to that which comes last. It is the best news of all. For the Greeks, of course, they demand wisdom. They like to work things out rationally and to prove beyond reasonable doubt that something is possible. Ideally, they'd like to prove something absolutely. And Paul reminds us that such desire for that sort of a knowledge is just not possible. Because what happens is that we finish up creating a God after our own imagination as to what God should be like. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was a German Lutheran pastor who was hung just before the end of the Second World War because he was caught up in trying to assassinate Adolf Hitler. He was an influential pastor because he was one of the few who constantly spoke out against the Nazi regime. He coined the phrase religionless Christianity, which doesn't mean Christianity without church services or anything like that. He suggested that religion is where we as people, as humans, try to work out what God might be like. Some of us are arrogant enough to assume that we can work out what God ought to be like. And he says that Christianity is where we take seriously the word that was spoken last, the word that came through Christ on the cross. The small print in God's totality of revelation, which ought to become the headlines that we proclaim to our community. The previous pope, the current one, Benedict, wrote a paper which attracted much criticism because he made some comments about Muslims and Islam, but in that paper the key argument that he had was that Christianity stands on the Greek philosophical traditions as developed and espoused by Plato and Aristotle. And he tried to suggest that the development of the gospel was possible because at the right time, as Paul says in Galatians, at the right time you had this common language, you had this common philosophical thought which enabled people to logically deduce the value and the sense of Christianity. I would, with all due respect, suggest he needs to go back to this text which came to us in 1 Corinthians. God chose what is foolish from the perspective of wisdom and rational thought. God chose what is weak from the perspective of those who want power and might to demonstrate God's true nature, what God is really on about. Christ crucified, resurrected, the means whereby God restores humanity and creation to God's self. If you want to get an image of this, read Ephesians and Colossians, where we have Christ gathering everything into Christ's embrace to present to the Father in union and unity with God. It's an incredible image and an incredible picture. But it's so difficult to actually trust it and believe it, because deep down we do want strength, deep down, people like me with this couple of thousand books do want rationality. But that's not what God presents to us as the way to God. It's trust, relationship, and developing this knowledge that God is for us and with us, and that God is there in the presence of all that may harm and hurt and cause us pain, and God will see us through. Because God's way is that way. The way to light through darkness. Why are we here this morning? You might think you're here because you woke up and you decided to come to church, but strictly speaking, you are here because, just like Jesus called those guys in Matthew to follow him, you have been called by God. Each one of us has been tapped on the shoulder, and to us has been opened up this incredible knowledge, how that in the crucified Christ, God invites all and everyone to God's self. Ours is the task to live this and to communicate this truth in the name of Christ. And the people said,
Amen.
Thank you for agreeing with that. And so we respond. There you are, you sing. It's part of our response, after which we have an affirmation. We affirm that it is not we who chose Christ, that we are not here because of our goodness, that we are not here to enlighten ourselves, that we have not come to get God to do what we want. And so we bring our offering to God. Gracious God, we come presenting ourselves and these gifts, and we acknowledge within our hearts that we are who we are because of your giftedness, and we have what we have because of your graciousness toward us. And so we joyfully bring ourselves and these offerings. May what we offer be only representative of our determination to serve you. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Yes. Thanks, Don.
Let us come before God with our prayers for others. Let us pray. O Lord our God, once again we come to you to bring our prayers for our world and the people whose needs burden our hearts, for those in far off places and for those in our community and for ourselves. Father, we are filled with wonder at the grace that you have shown to us, and we are encouraged by that grace to come boldly to you with our concerns. And we are encouraged too by the love and compassion that Jesus showed to those in need during his earthly ministry. We are mindful of the refugee situation in Europe, where thousands of people are forced to endure bitterly cold weather with inadequate shelter. We pray for them, and we pray for the welfare agencies who endeavour to alleviate their suffering. We pray too for those in positions of power, that they might have compassion for the plight of the refugees, and they might have the courage to take positive action. We pray too for the people of the United States of America, and for their new president, Donald Trump. And Father, as he seeks to use his powers as president, we ask that he might govern with grace and with compassion, and that he might have the grace to be led by your Spirit. In our own country, we have been shocked by the horrific incident in Melbourne on Friday, when innocent people were killed or injured by a deranged man behind the wheel of a car. We pray for the victims, and we pray for the families of the victims, and for all who have been affected by that incident. May your Spirit grant them peace. We have also witnessed the readiness of some people to use this incident for their own purposes to stir up fear of people with different beliefs. And so we pray for ourselves and our fellow Australians that we might have the grace to share your respect and love for those whose differences make us feel uneasy, especially as we prepare to celebrate Australia Day this week. And Father, our hearts go out to those who have suffered from the recent spate of fires, and we pray for them that they might have hope and the courage to rebuild their lives and their futures. And we pray for the fire and emergency personnel who risk their lives and their health to help those in need. And with our schools opening this week, we pray for the children and the teachers as they commence the new school year. And we particularly pray for the children and teachers at our own school here at Bald Hills. We pray too for the families who continue to have to cope with serious health issues. We ask that you will be with the school's chaplain, Kylie, that she might be sensitive to the needs of the children and the families and be able to provide comfort and support where it is needed. And Father, we pray for our own congregation and for the needs of our friends and families. We are aware that there are those in our congregation and in our community who struggle with health issues. We thank you for Tony's recovery, which has enabled him to return and live in his home again. We pray that your Spirit will support him as he undergoes more scans tomorrow. We pray too that you will bless Bell Connolly, that she might be able to regain better health. And we pray for those who are experiencing their own private struggles and concerns. We ask that your Spirit might deal with their own specific needs, and that in the fellowship of this congregation they might find peace and renewal of spirit. We pray for the future of our congregation and for those who bear the responsibilities of negotiating the issues which we must deal with. We thank you for Louis's ministry, and we pray that this afternoon's induction service will be a blessing to him and to us. And may we as a congregation be open to the leading of your Spirit, that he might work within us, so that we might be a blessing to those for whom we have prayed this morning. And we pray these prayers in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Now we sing the hymn "Forth in Your Name" as we are being sent out to serve God.
Thank you.
obey the Creator of all that is. Strengthen our commitment to care for God's creation and for all the life it supports. May Jesus Christ, whose love embraces people of all races and cultures, enable us to promote the well-being of every person who crosses our path. May the Holy Spirit, who brooded over creation, inspire all of its people of faith to engage in acts of audacious hope and extravagant love. And may the Trinity of love, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the one God who creates, redeems, and transforms, bless you and keep you now and forever.